Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, quite a day because of the attack last night on Iran and the response today. Congresswoman Ann Wagner has been briefed and debriefed, and some of it is highly classified, but she's going to join some thoughts and share her words with us a little bit later in the hour. Also, Annalise Basso, who is a local actress. She's from here in St. Louis. I've been friends with her mom and her brother for a long time. She's in a new movie called The Life of Chuck, which opened in some cities last week, but it opens here in St. Louis this weekend. And Annalise is going to join us a little later in the hour. We have the host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism, my good friend John Ziegler from California with us today. Actually, John wanted to talk about some media issues, and I still will. But as I welcome you into the show, I'm sure you have something to say about what's happening between Israel and Iran and how much we might be involved here this afternoon. How are you, John?
I'm doing fine, Mark. I'm generally a defender of Israel and certainly have no love lost for Iran. I don't know where this is all going to head going forward. I find it interesting that it seems like Trump wants to keep Israel at arm's length, which is kind of against the perception of the way things were during the election. But I certainly respect what Israel was capable of doing from a strategic and military standpoint. I mean, it's kind of, I'm always confused by Israel's capabilities that they're able to do this, and they did that remarkable pager attack, and yet they were caught completely off guard by the terrorist attacks by Hamas, which kind of began this whole series of events a couple of years ago. I don't know how the heck that happened. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it is remarkable to me what Israel is capable of doing, and thank goodness they are still able to do it.
Did you dig into, you know, and you and I both, you criticize bad journalism when it's called for, but there was really interesting reporting a few weeks ago on the attack that Ukrainians did on the Russians. You know, it was sort of a Trojan horse.
Right.
It's really, really, and there was some of that element in this too, and they've been planning it for a year. It's pretty crazy, some of the details, and they're just emerging right now, but I think that's what you're referencing, right?
No, it's exactly right, and I think that's a very good comparison to what Ukraine did. And with regard to the Ukraine situation, I did find it pretty strange that, you know, the right wing, because of the perception that Trump is more pro-Putin than he is pro-Zelensky, was, you know, I think, hesitant to celebrate that victory, which is kind of weird. I mean, when you're our age, Mark, you know, we used to celebrate when bad things happened for Russia, but I guess we don't live in that world anymore. But I do definitely see the comparison, and it's remarkable that they were able to pull these things off. Now, with regard to Iran, who knows how this all turns out? I really don't have any clue. I don't know if you do, but I certainly don't.
No, I do not, and I don't know what our level. Look, as I pointed out earlier, this is where the push and pull happens, and we can get into immigration. You already have people that are on the hard MAGA right, I guess, as I'll refer to them, that are saying, wait a second, this is not what I voted for. Even when Trump yesterday mentioned farm workers and hotel workers and seemingly was leaning in toward amnesty, that's a bad word. You had people on the hard MAGA right that are pushing back saying, hey, I didn't vote for that. So some of the political dynamics of the loudmouths on the X, formerly Twitter, and et cetera, the pundits, are getting rather interesting right now.
Well, I have, a rather unique perspective on this because I've now lived in Los Angeles for over 20 years, which is bizarre to me because I grew up living in most cities east of the Mississippi. But look, I'm extremely anti-illegal immigration, but I also am a realist.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it is my view that it is too late to save California. It's just too late. The cancer of illegal immigration has overtaken the host, and there's no way to get it out without killing the patient or having the patient kill you in the process. And I think what we have seen over the last week or so, frankly, has been theater. I mean, it's really, I think everybody is acting in this whole situation. Newsom's acting, Trump's acting, Padilla's acting, everybody's acting, and everyone is pursuing their own political self-interest. And I think this has generally worked well for Trump nationwide, but I also think it's probably helped Newsom, certainly in California, maybe in some very blue areas across the country, because he wants to run for president in 2028. We're long past the point here in California where we can be saved. I believe California is on the road to secession. I've believed that for a long time, and I believe the events of the last week or so have proven that in spades. We are not part of the United States anymore. We're not, philosophically. Philosophically, the people here, the leadership here in California, is siding with those who are here illegally against the federal government of the United States. That is not a tenable situation moving forward, and there's no way to change it. And I'm not even, and you kind of already implied it, I don't even think Trump is truly committed to trying to change it, because he's already backing down on certain aspects of it.
Yeah.
And that's Trump's MO. That's the way Trump has always done things. That's where the term taco comes from. Trump always chickens out. I mean, that's who he is. It would take a monumental, sustained effort and a willingness to endure massive political ramifications to eradicate illegal immigration from California, and that's just not happening.
So then what is the end game then? And we can get into what happened. Look, I'd never heard of Alex Padilla, really. And we also found out, I don't know if you watched the congressional baseball game, but one of our senators, Eric Schmidt, was one of the stars the other night. He got plunked in the back. I guess Padilla was on the mound. When this all happened with Kristi Noem yesterday, I didn't even know who this guy was. Most of the country didn't. You talk about theater. Then he comes out. Let me play a little of the audio here.
I was there peacefully. At one point, I had a question. And so I began to ask a question. I was almost immediately forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground. And I was handcuffed.
All right, so John, I want your opinion on this, but I want to play this cut from a CBS News guy named Carter Evans, who I'm actually surprised if he has his job today, because he kind of called it like he saw it.
He indicated that he didn't identify himself and that people who want to ask a question should identify themselves before making a move toward the podium. I'm really not surprised that they responded in the way that they did when someone is making a unexpected, rapid move towards the podium where the DHS secretary is speaking.
He wanted to be arrested, didn't he? It's all part of the theater. They wanted the moment, and they got it.
I agree 100%. I don't know whether or not he anticipated this going down exactly as it did, but he could not have been more thrilled with the way that it happened, in my opinion. Now, could they have handled him a little better? Yeah, I think they probably could have. The fact that he's a U.S. senator, to me, is not that relevant to this. I mean, especially when it's not clear anyone knew he was a U.S. senator. I have no doubt that he is thrilled that this happened. I've already gotten multiple fundraising emails based upon this event, and that's one of the telltale signs, right? When a political party is fundraising off an event, they're happy that it occurred. That's exactly what I was referring to when I said I believe that all of this, almost all of this, is theater on almost everybody's part.
So he's the guy that was appointed, though, because Harris ran for VP, correct?
Right. And now, yeah. Of course, because it's California, he has his job for life. I mean, there's no getting rid of him.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
So that's why he's able to do this. See, that's I think you understand this, but I think your listeners need to fully understand how far gone things are in California. In California, Democrats are freed up to do whatever they want, especially on the state level, because it is literally impossible to get rid of them. We have a one-party state in California. Don't believe any of this BS narrative that somehow it was starting to turn red in 2024. That was ridiculous. I think Trump's disapproval rating is at 74% in the state right now. I mean, it's by one poll's indication. This is a one-party state, and it's only getting worse because I have a opinion. I believe that Arizona and Nevada went for Trump in 2024 because so many Californians after COVID moved from California to Nevada and Arizona, and they weren't the liberals.
Yeah, there's
they
probably
were the conservatives
a lot to
that were getting the hell out of here.
So then what happens with the dynamics moving into this weekend? Look, we have protests planned everywhere around the country. We know what happened in L.A. You know, one of the things that I've said the last couple of days, if you look at some of the people out there, we've seen this in Ferguson, we've seen it in the aftermath of George Floyd. I see punk white kids out there, you know, trying to cover their faces up. I don't see only people of color that are protesting. Obviously, there are immigrants and real people that are concerned about the ICE crackdowns. But a lot of this is the paid protesters and Antifa, et cetera. I'd love to know your perspective from being out there in L.A.
Well, I have, again, I think a bit of a unique opinion on this, having seen many, many riots and protests in Los Angeles. And I think that one of the most underrated elements of this phenomenon is the media coverage. I think that if it was, you know, and I'm not suggesting this because I believe in the First Amendment, but I think if it was illegal for television to cover protests, they would dissipate very quickly.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I completely agree because I'm watching the other night, John, to your point. I was curious after this was ramping up, and I thought I'm usually watching sports at night, but I'm going to watch a little Fox, a little CNN. I'm going back and forth. I see a couple hundred people out there. The cameras, the helicopters are tracking them. I see a group in New York, mainly of white idiots out there, but they're ginning it up more than it needed to be ginned up. And then Newsom gets involved and makes it worse, and Trump probably makes it worse as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the helicopters. Because I think the helicopters are the key to the whole thing, especially we now live in a world where everybody's got a camera on them with a cell phone, and I think people become immune to even television trucks. But you cannot ignore the power of multiple helicopters overhead. When that happens, you are being told that what is happening is important,
right,
that people are watching, that this is a place to be. And if you're a loser with nothing else to do, come on out. It's riot season. You might get some free sneakers and free electronics. That's the helicopters, and this is why this usually only happens in highly concentrated population centers and major markets where they have media helicopters. I think the helicopters are the gasoline on top of the fire that is literally and figuratively these kinds of protests and riots.
So what is the tone out there right now? Because we had a couple of protests here 2 days ago that, you know, there was a threat that maybe a highway would be shut down. It didn't happen, luckily. They remained mainly peaceful. But you get these things that are being shared over on, you know, Facebook or whatever, where there's maps of protests here, protests there. What is L.A. anticipating this weekend? Or
well,
can you even gauge
well, I
that?
I live just north of L.A. in kind of farmish country, and we've become a little bit more of the focus on this. And I'm not sure that there's any reality to back it up, but it's kind of been bizarre. I almost get a Bigfoot feel about what's happening because I'm seeing social media with all these videos in our area of Ventura County, just north of Los Angeles, where supposedly ICE is going after the farming community. And every video I see, I'm like, I can't tell what's going on there.
Yeah.
This doesn't look so. I feel like a lot of this might be being ginned up.
Yes, yes.
I don't see a lot of evidence that it's actually real. But as you know, we don't live in a world where reality really matters. I feel a lot of this is perception and a lot of people wanting to be outraged. And I got to tell you this. If it wasn't Trump who was president, if the exact same thing, which it was happening to a certain degree during the Obama administration, if it was happening under a non-Trump administration, a Democratic administration, no one would care because it's the perception of Trump And it's the ability and the willingness of Democrats to go bananas over it, all because they perceive the exact same immigration actions as somehow being evil because Donald Trump is president.
Absolutely. All right. John hosts a great podcast called The Death of Journalism. I'm kind of burying the lead a little bit because there's so much news, but I want to hear your opinion on Terry Moran. He goes out late at night and he calls Stephen Miller a world-class hater. The network suspends him right away. They fire him. I guess I was rather surprised by that. Maybe he, again, this was theater. He gets what he wants. But what are your thoughts on that whole dynamic?
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting you mentioned late at night on a weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know Terry Moran at all, but it certainly seemed to me as if alcohol might have been involved in that tweet. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I do agree. I addressed that earlier this week. There's a theory, I think, yes.
Well, I mean, if you look at it carefully, it's actually written pretty well, but there's at least one duplication of a word, which would be a typo, which kind of it's not proof of anything, but it's consistent with the idea that he wasn't really paying as much attention to this as he should have been. Look, the content of the tweet was totally inappropriate for an ABC news anchor. And let me be clear, while I know that Terry Moran is obviously a liberal, they almost all of them are. I always thought he was decently fair by the very low standards of an ABC news anchor. I thought he was pretty smart. You know, he became famous during O.J. Simpson, like a lot of people of that generation did, when he was working for Court TV. So he's not the worst example of an ABC news anchor. But I thought the strangest part of the whole thing was, how dumb do you have to be, unless somehow he wanted this to happen, which I don't think he did, to do this right after the George Stephanopoulos settlement with Trump. And so obviously ABC Disney is on edge and pins and needles on this topic to begin with. And when apparently your contract is up, which is what ABC said was the case when they effectively fired him. They said, you know, we're not going to renew his contract. And so why would you do something like that when you knew your contract was up and your company was already extremely sensitive to this kind of issue, having caved, I think, inappropriately on the George Stephanopoulos settlement with regard to Donald Trump? So, you know, frankly, I think Terry Moran probably deserved what he got for stupidity more than for being anti-Trump administration or anti-Stephen Miller.
John, there was some reporting in the New York Post that ABC News staffers were pissed that he did that, and some people were calling him to be fired. I found that interesting because I would think that inside some of these newsrooms, they'd be cheering that on.
Well, I didn't see that, but I'll take your word for it. I think that maybe they're concerned about the fact that, you know, we're coming off of this Stephanopoulos black eye, and why are you doing this? You know, to make us look even worse. We're trying the best we can to at least appear to be objective. That's about the only theory I can come up with to explain that. I mean, but let's be clear. I mean, there's no question that the average worker at ABC News is a liberal Democrat. And, you know, they would probably agree with the spirit, if not the letter, of what Terry Moran wrote, which, again, I think it was inappropriate for a news anchor, but I didn't think it was completely off the wall if he had been a commentator, right? I mean, there's a big difference. I think that's the key part of this. And maybe sometimes these people are forgetting the difference between being a news anchor, a reporter, and a commentator. If Terry Moran was a liberal commentator, I don't think anyone would have thought twice about
probably not at all. Absolutely. All right, Zig, I want to end on a lighter note here because I know you love golf and I love golf. Are you watching the U.S. Open? Have you ever played Oakmont? By the way, the rough seemingly is eating them up. The leader, Sam Burns, sits at just -3 on the second day of that tournament. That's fascinating.
I have played Oakmont. In fact, I played Oakmont just before the last time they played the U.S. Open in 2016 there. And so I can confirm that it is one of, if not the toughest golf courses in the world. I played there under rather extraordinary circumstances because this is going to open up a massive can of worms. But I played there the day after I had been arrested and beaten up by police on the other side of Pennsylvania for having attended the speaking engagement of Matt Sandusky, the adopted son of Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, my goodness.
So I played there. I drove 3 hours back to Oakmont the next day because that was partially why I came across the country for those two events. And I was completely, it was a bogus arrest. It was ridiculous, everything that happened, but I was technically facing 19 years in prison. So I was physically and mentally about as shattered as you could possibly be. But somehow, despite playing from the very back tees, the tips, just where they play for the U.S. Open, I did break 40 on the back nine with a double bogey on the easiest hole of the back
nine.
That
is impressive.
So I was very proud of the way I played that day, considering all the circumstances. But I am concerned about the rain tomorrow. If they get the rain that's expected, I think the scores are going to go much, much lower. Like, currently, this is a perfect U.S. Open scoring-wise, but if they get rain tomorrow morning, you're going to see some guys go much, much lower over the weekend, which I'm not a fan of at a U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, John, thank you so much for weighing in this afternoon. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Hey, take care, Mark.
All right, take care. Ann Wagner's coming up, and then we'll have my friend Annalise Bassett, who's in this movie called The Life of Chuck. She's a St. Louis native, and an audio cut of the day. Big news, obviously, Israel hits Iran, Iran hits back. All the latest coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, very busy day, and Ann Wagner, our congresswoman from the 2nd District, is very dialed into what's going on between Israel and Iran. I want to welcome her in this afternoon. Ann, how are you?
I'm fine. I got in late last night and have been up all night. You know, the speaker put me on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, so I am the intelligence oversight arm and wing of our U.S. House Congress, and we've been up all night. Different briefings. I will be getting full briefings soon of a classified nature, and it is a fast-paced and quickly changing situation, but I can't say we didn't see this coming.
Well,
so.
Clearly Netanyahu and the Israelis have been keeping you and the U.S. apprised of the plans here. I don't think there's any doubt about that, correct?
Yes. Obviously, the president confirmed that last night, and which is why we moved several of our non-essential personnel out of our embassies and CENTCOM and areas over the last several days. And here we are. And I, you know, it's I can't over and over again. Iran has just made it clear that it seeks the utter destruction of Israel and the United States. A nuclear Iran would be unthinkable and dangerous, not just for Israel and America and our interests, but also peace in the Western world. So they must never obtain a nuclear weapon. And Israel has a right. And I think the obligation to defend and to address this existential threat. So this is where we are. Obviously, the launch started last night with Operation Rising Lion, over 200 Israeli fighter strikes, hundreds and hundreds of targets across Iran, and you know, from military bases, missile depots, nuclear missile bases in Tehran, Tabriz, Isfahan, Kermanish, Arak. I could go on and on. Mossad led covert sabotage operations also, targeting Iran's strategic missile sites and such. So, and I can report that Iran's Natanz primary enrichment site has been decapitated along with Iran's military leadership. So that's been done. Obviously, there was another Israeli counterattack. Iran came in with hundreds of drones. Those were taken out quickly. A second wave of Israeli strikes was underway. And now what we have been seeing now is Iran responding with a huge barrage of ballistic missiles, hundreds and hundreds. Several have hit Tel Aviv. I don't know what all the fallout is there, but it is absolutely confirmed by United States officials that U.S. forces are participating in defeating the Iranian attack on Israel. Mark, we've got American citizens and American assets in Israel and around the region, and we have moved. I can say we've got, I think, two destroyers in the area in the eastern Mediterranean. We are in the process of moving one from the western Mediterranean. And again, none of this is classified. I can share this. There are other things I cannot.
Right, understand.
And of course, we have an aircraft carrier in the Arabian Sea. So we are actively defending our greatest friend and ally in the region, which is Israel, and it's certainly, I feel very strongly that we should be doing this.
Well, and by the way, I agree with you, but the question then becomes: I've seen already people on social media, maybe that's the worst place to look, but people who say, some on the hard MAGA right, if you will, saying, "Look, this is not what I voted for when it came to President Trump getting U.S. troops involved." So, how would you address the level of our engagement here, and what's at stake for the U.S. troops?
Well, you know, we are all supporting President Trump. He has called on Iran over and over again and still does at this very moment to choose peace over destruction. And they must abandon their reckless pursuit of a nuclear weapon and return to the negotiating table in order to do that. The president is still saying that what is going on right now should serve, and I quote him, this should serve as a warning to the Ayatollah. He should agree to the administration's terms or suffer the most severe consequences. So, I mean, I'm going to work as hard as I can with my colleagues in Congress and the House Intelligence Committee and to support Israel and their fight for lasting peace throughout the region. I think the president is going to do that also. We have, as I said, American citizens and assets in the area, the region, in Israel. They are our friend, our ally, you know, and I want really more than anything here today, Mark, I want our Jewish community in St. Louis that I work so closely with and frankly across the country and the world. I chair the Abraham Accords Caucus, involved in in a lot of these areas for anti-Semitism and for our Jewish community in support of them, that I stand completely with Israel 100%. And I will do my part, as I said, to ensure that Congress's unwavering support for the world's only Jewish state, our friend and ally Israel, is there. And I want our Jewish community here in St. Louis and beyond to know that. And I support the president's call for them to come back to the negotiating table before, as he said, there is total destruction.
Well, and, you know, so. I guess on that front, on the diplomatic front, look, in my mind, and I was just talking about this yesterday, look, this was imminent. The buildup was there. We kind of knew something was going to happen. I didn't realize it was going to happen right when I left the air last night. But when it comes to diplomacy and negotiations and all that, let's just be honest. We've been trying to do that for a long time. It hasn't worked.
No, it has not. It has not. And they've made it clear over and over again. And we're tired of the rope-a-dope. I will say this. President Trump came back in and exercised great leadership by putting back in the maximum pressure campaign. Remember, it was the Biden administration that allowed Iran to have hundreds of billions of dollars in oil money in order to prop up their proxies, Hamas, who obviously perpetrated the horrific October 7th attack on Israel, Hezbollah, the Houthis, who have gone after our own warship and personnel and fomented nothing but destabilization and terror in the region. The Biden administration cut off some of our direct military sales and defense mechanisms from going to Iran. And as soon as Trump came in, he put back the maximum pressure campaign. He allowed $12 billion in direct military sales to go to Israel for their defense. This is our weaponry that in large part that they're using and that they've purchased also, I might add. And as I said, they have the right and I believe the obligation to defend and address this existential threat. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. But the president, to his credit, has done what he can to try and bring them to a negotiating table, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
They just keep trying to run out the clock.
Some of this may venture into the classified material, but is there any indication that B-2s from Whiteman will be used in an effort here to protect Israel? Can you address that issue?
I cannot.
Okay. I figured, but I wanted to answer that, you know, ask the question at least. I understand that. And I know it's probably going to be a busy weekend, and maybe we can catch up next week and get the update. You know, I guess the warning to the Ayatollah, I think, is clear right now. My concern would be how big of the response and what is the cost for Israel at this point? I guess that they're going through that right now in real time.
They are. They absolutely are. And as I said, the choice is there. The choice has been theirs from the very beginning, as it was with Hamas. If Hamas had agreed to the terms that were put to them to return the hostages, to leave the region, to stand down and demilitarize, we wouldn't have the situation still going on in Gaza. And if Iran, over decades of back and forth, had not continued its enrichment of nuclear uranium power and technology and fomented their proxy war and terrorism across the world, including, as I said, Hamas, Houthis, Hezbollah, then we would not be in this situation.
There's no doubt about that.
This is a decision of their own making, and now they will pay the consequences. I'm just glad that our U.S. forces are participating in defeating this Iranian attack on Israel. I stand with them. This Israel 100%, and I want, again, for our Jewish community in St. Louis and beyond to know that I will do everything in my power to make sure that Congress has Israel's back with unwavering support.
Before I let you go, any thoughts on the wars that might be happening in the streets of St. Louis and beyond this weekend with protests? Because that's
ugly, too. I mean, it is. We've seen it in across the country, and I'm a big defender of peaceful protests, okay? I really am. And people's First Amendment right to do so. But again, the key word there is peaceful. It must be peaceful. And I would just call upon all to exercise your First Amendment right, but do so peacefully and civilly.
Yeah, I hope
there
so.
There should never be the kinds of attacks on our law enforcement, on our ICE agents. It's unconscionable. And it will not be, we will not stand for it.
Yeah, we've seen it too much here in St. Louis, unfortunately. And luckily, a couple of days ago, things stayed relatively peaceful. I hope it continues into the weekend. And get some sleep, get some rest. Thanks for the update this afternoon. I appreciate it.
You bet. My pleasure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When we talked movies in the 4 o'clock hour, one of the films we featured is called The Life of Chuck.
When you look up at the night sky, it can tell you stuff about your future. It won't lie to you. It's pure that way. You might see a lot more than you wanted, but if you have heart, you have hope. And you have heart in you.
One of the stars of that film is Annalise Basso, who is a St. Louis native. She's been acting for a long, long time. She joins us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Annalise, how are you? It's been a little while. I'm so glad that you were able to join and talk about the movie, which opens here in St. Louis this weekend. How you doing?
Me too. I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be on your show, Mark. I've missed you.
I still think of you. I've told this story as a little girl. I'm heading out to LA many years ago. You had just been in the Adam Sandler movie, which was really good. Bedtime Stories. You're the little girl who gives the boy a kiss at the end. And I'm telling your mom, I'm going out to this awards ceremony, and she points toward you. I don't even know how old you were at the time, probably 10 or 11 years old. And that's how we met, and that's how I connected with your mom and your brother. And you've just done so well, and now you're in a great new movie this weekend.
Well, I'm really happy to be able to talk about it with you. I mean, yeah, I have known you for so long, and I'm just, the fact that I get to talk about this movie, which means so much to me, on your show, just, it means a lot.
Well, I'm disadvantaged because I have not seen the film. I'm going to try to see it this weekend, but tell us about the movie, because my movie guy, Paul Hall, was talking about it in the next hour. I've seen you in the trailer dancing with Tom Hiddleston. It looks fantastic. So tell us about the film, what it's about, and the role that you play here.
It's about the importance of hope and heart in the face of suffering and how joy can help redeem these moments of chaos and suffering. The power of joy and hope really is what it's about.
It's based on a short story by Stephen King, and I'm told is it actually in reverse, because act three goes into act two and then it wraps up, you know, the beginning before the end, or the end before the beginning, I guess, is what Paul told me earlier. Is that right?
Well, there's a little bit of a spoil. Do you want me to spoil it a little bit for
Maybe
you?
A little bit, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the first act takes place in the head of this person, Chuck. And then the second act is, you know, this moment, the act that I'm in is this moment where he finds a stranger on the street and we dance together. We have this beautiful moment, blah, blah, blah. And then the last act is his whole life leading up to it. So the first act is actually, you know, this movie is about how we contain multitudes, and that's a Walt Whitman quote that comes up. And it's just you're experiencing the universe in his head as he's dying of cancer. And
so there's a big message here, but your dancing looks fantastic. How much is this dancing that comes natural, or is there a lot of choreography practice that was involved here for that scene with Tom?
Both. I feel like I've been training for this my whole life because I've loved dance so much. I started training at the St. Louis Ballet Company, actually. And then, you know, when I moved out here, I started training with my dance teacher when I was figure skating competitively and doing some stuff. And I mean, I still dance with her in the laundry room of her apartment building because we just love dance so much. So I mean, the love for dance has been in my blood, in my life for my whole life. And I'm not going to call myself a professional dancer though, because I look at these people who've committed their whole life to developing this art form. And like, it's brutal. And I mean, just rehearsing for, I think we rehearsed for 50 days for this. It was brutal, but I mean, I just have the utmost respect for professional dancers after doing this, because I've always just come at it from a place of love, and they come at it from a place of like love and passion and necessity.
I saw the pictures from the red carpet of your mom and you. You both looked fantastic and beautiful. Was that the first time you had seen the film just a week before it opened, or had you seen a screening previously?
No, I actually saw it at TIFF as well, but that was the first time I've seen it since TIFF. So I was there. My mom and my dad both came. It was awesome.
So what is it like just to see a movie, a big movie like that, for the first time with an audience in there with you? What was that moment like?
Honestly, I was really just psyched that my parents were there, because that was my dad's first premiere that he's ever of mine that he's been able to come to, and to be able to sit between him and my mom and watch them watching me. I was more concerned with them than with everyone else, but it meant a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine that it did. Well, the cast is quite impressive too, including Luke Skywalker. Now, I don't know how much you got to work with the rest of the cast, because it's told in different parts. Were you all on set together at times, or did you have to be in a movie with a lot of people you didn't even, you know, meet or work with?
I didn't get to meet or work with a lot of these people until the premiere. It was so funny. Well, actually, the first time that we screened it, I shouldn't say the premiere, but I had worked with Karen before, and when we came to the screening together, it was like, oh, hey, good to see you. There was a reunion and all that, but that was the first time I had met Mark, and we got to see each other for the first time through this movie. And that was fun. That was really, really fun.
I can imagine. Now, I saw, I was looking at the IMDb credits, and that you produced a movie called Blind River. Are you becoming a mogul out there in Hollywood? And can we actually see that film somewhere? Does it stream anywhere? Or what's the plan for that?
Blind River premiered on Lifetime. And I don't know. I actually don't know if it can be streamed, but maybe check it out on Lifetime. I also produced and wrote and directed my first play called The Experiment, and it's about AI, and it's I've been calling it, like, you know, my love letter to the individual, to the artist, to the soul. And it was a success here in LA, so I don't know where that's going to go, but I just want more people to see it, because like Life of Chuck, this is a piece about what makes us special. I mean, AI could create another version of me or you or someone, but there is something that belongs completely and totally to us. So people need to be reminded of that. I think
what I heard there is you are becoming a mogul. I'm very impressed, because your career is taking off in different areas. Now, do you ever get back here to St. Louis? I haven't seen your mom in a while. I haven't seen you in a while. Do you get back to St. Louis ever?
My sister actually had her 30th birthday at the City Museum. And so I was there a couple years ago, but haven't been back since. I want to come back, though. I was surprised. I miss St. Louis. Yeah. And to see it change over the last several years, it's been weird.
Yeah, it's not all great. You know, and I don't get to Hollywood very often because after COVID, my daughter, I sent you a picture of Alexia. She's 10 now. She's basically, I think, the age when I met you. And she was getting into sports and other things. She, by the way, she loves music. She loves movies. So it's been awesome. But I kind of got away from going out to Hollywood. And, you know, the studios changed things after COVID. They were doing more Zoom mm-hmm. interviews. So I miss visiting out there as well. But one of my favorite things that I always remember, and I wish I would have had a chance to do this with you, I did a junket with your brother when he was in Super 8, and he was very young at the time. And I don't know how Gabe is. I've lost touch with him. But that was a cool moment to get to know you guys when you were just kids and then to interview Gabe, you know, when he was in that great movie that Steven Spielberg produced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gabe is a night agent. He's, you know, doing night agent things. So you're not the only one who's lost touch. He's working really, really hard and working on some really cool projects that I can't wait to see.
I have always said, though, just, you know, I think even publicly and privately, that I thought you were going to be the big star of the family. And I still think that that's possible. You're doing great. The Life of Chuck has opened now in St. Louis. I do want to see it. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, your mom and you, I could just see how proud she was in the pictures from the red carpet. So I know I've been communicating with her. But Annalise, thank you so much for coming on. And good luck with everything. And keep us posted on becoming a mogul, okay?
I will. And thank you, Mark. Hope to talk to you soon.
All right, take care. That's Annalise Basso. Go see The Life of Chuck. We're coming back with audio cut of the day. Well, it's been a really, really crazy day, and there's still missiles that are falling in Tel Aviv right now. Interestingly enough, Scott Jennings is there. He was there for separate reasons. He's kind of trapped in Israel right now. His Twitter feed is really good, though, following and tracking the situation. Let's get to this, though.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I think that this speaks volumes here. Trey Yinks taking cover with his photographer a little earlier.
A massive amount of fire coming to Tel Aviv right now. Yaniv, get ready to pull it off the stick. Get off the sticks. All right, let's go. Time to go.
One of the things that's fascinating about the original attack that Israel launched last night, here's Aaron Cohen, an Israeli special ops officer, describing what happened and how it went down.
This was a years-long operation. And Israeli operatives smuggled guided missile systems into Iran, and they placed them near air defense sites and then remotely activated them the moment the air campaign started. They also used undercover civilian vehicles with hidden launch systems inside, and they were driven into Iran ahead of time and used to knock out Iranian air defenses from within the country.
And they inflicted damage. This is retired General Jack Keane.
Iran will retaliate based on what they have left. They're literally fighting for their survival here. We have said for a long time, Iran is on their heels prior to this attack. And President Trump tried to get him to voluntarily dismantle the program. He gave him 60 days, and here we are. The 60 days are up. They didn't dismantle, and the Israelis are doing that.
Yeah, I would say literally stay tuned, because we don't really know exactly where this is taking us. And when I say us, the U.S., not involved in attacking Iran, but certainly involved in some of the defense of Israel right now. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.